If you're down today, stay there. Stay humbled. I know it doesn't make sense because we all want to get up and we want the pain to be released and we don't want to deal with whatever we're dealing with. But let me tell you this, and from personal experience, some of the greatest victories in my life have been when I've been down. Because I know this, the greatest victories in life are won when we're on our face and on our knees before the great God of the Bible, crying out to Him, saying, God, I can't do this. I need You to do the work. I can't do this another day. Oh, You speak, You work, You carry me. Oh, God, and in whatever I do today, I want to be Your vessel for Your praise and Your glory. Oh, God, in whatever I do tomorrow, I want to be used for You. I want to make my life count. Oh, God, in whatever I do, I am Yours.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
And I want to welcome you back to the second part of the message entitled, And in Whatever You Do. What a joy it is to have you listening today, and we are truly humbled and grateful for your listening and tuning in to these programs. This is God's ministry, and we believe that when God's in charge and when God is leading, great things happen for His praise and His glory. And that's our greatest prayer, is that we would decrease while He increases, that we would truly live out Psalm 115:1. Not unto us, but to Your name we give glory, because of Your mercy, because of Your truth. And we know this, that even though we're living in perilous days, where it's difficult many times to be a true Christ follower because of what is going on around us, we can confidently rest in this truth, that the light of the gospel always shines the brightest in the darkness. Therefore, both you and I can take great encouragement and peace and strength through God's holy word. And yet the only way this will occur is if we are under the authority of God's word, if we are in God's word daily, feasting and meditating on His truths. And so as we think about the title of today's broadcast, And in Whatever You Do, what a simple yet effective title that I pray will greatly drive a stake into our heart of resolve, of commitment, of tenacity and perseverance, all for the sake of God's glory. You think of that title and not much is left out. When we say, and in whatever you do, there's not a whole lot that escapes that all-encompassing statement. And yet I believe that's what God has called us to do. I believe that's what God has called us to be. That in whatever we do, wherever we go, whoever we're with, that in all things we are to be the light of the gospel to those around us. And so my encouragement right now is that you would take your Bible. Let's open together to this great text in Colossians chapter 3, looking at verse 17, as we listen to the second part of the message entitled, And in Whatever You Do.
I believe if you're one of those professed believers who says, I made that profession years ago, and I'm saved, and I'm on my way to heaven, but there's no desire to live for Christ. There's no desire to witness. There's no desire to make disciples. There's no desire to pursue holiness. There's no desire to pursue righteous living. But yet there's still this profession that I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. There's no desire, however, to spread the gospel around you. There's no desire to be the gospel to those around you. But I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. There's no desire to be intimate with God daily through prayer and commune with His Word and to be strengthened and to be refreshed by His Word so that we can go out and tackle the day. There's no desire to meditate on His truths and to be anchored to His truths so that you're not swayed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. But I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm not sure if that's you. I'm not sure who you quote unquote accepted. But I can assure you this. It wasn't Jesus. You say, how could you say something like that? How do you even rationalize and support that comment? I'll tell you how. God's word is clear that when the person truly encounters the living Christ, Jesus himself, and the heart is changed, it's enraptured with his love, with his praise, with his glory, with his mission. You cannot encounter Jesus and still live as you did before apart from Jesus. It's impossible. I think Spurgeon said it well. I believe the holier a man becomes, the more he mourns over the unholiness which remains within him. See, that's where we want to get to. I understand this concept. Man, we fail, don't we? I know I do. I wish I could stand here before you today and say truthfully that in everything I do, it's with the right motive, the right heart for the glory of God. I wish I could say that, but I can't honestly say that. I'm in this body of death and I'm pursuing Christ. I'm running hard after him. But man, there's some days and some moments of great struggle where I give into the flesh and I have to repent and I have to turn back to God and say, God, this is an area of weakness in my life and I need to speak into my life. I need you to do the powerful work that only you can do through the Holy Spirit to work on my heart, to prune my heart, to change my heart, to restore my heart, to repair my heart. Oh, I need you to do the work, God, because if you don't do it, it will not happen. The issue is not that you are perfect in your behavior. The issue is that you're perfect in the righteousness of Christ. The issue is not that you have to work. Okay, whatever you do, we're trying to attain salvation here. That's not what he's saying. We know it's by grace we've been saved and nothing we can do. It's by God's redemption at Christ's expense. It's that unmerited favor that was shed on Calvary and that was revealed triumphantly through victory, through that empty tomb. It's all about what he did so that we might become the righteousness of God in him and through him. You say, I'm trying, I'm working hard, I'm struggling. Here's my encouragement to you. Keep pressing in to God. You say, what do you mean? Press into God. Get rid of the nonsense in your life, the distractions. That may mean for some of us that we're getting rid of Facebook. I get it, I know, that's like, wait a minute. You talk about a mutiny and a backlash by just making that statement. But I'm telling you this. I believe we're going to get to heaven. It's going to be revealed that even though this technology of Facebook and Twitter and email and all that goes on that can, yes, be positively used to advance the kingdom, that it can be positively used for the glory of God, that it can be positively used to bring sinners to the cross of Jesus Christ. I believe it, I believe it, I believe it. But let me tell you this as well, that we know this, that the evil one will take what God meant to be good and to create it into something that's twisted, warped, and deceptive. And I believe like never before that we are having mass amounts of people inside the church that are so consumed with the world. They're so consumed with the technology of the world and trying to find out what everyone else is doing because we're reading and we're seeing how great their life is. And man, and whatever I do and whatever they do, well, that's their life and their life's going great. And my life, man, it stinks compared to what they're showing off on their pages. Oh, let me tell you this. That stuff is not real. I can assure you that as we look to everyone else for the bar being set, for the goal, when we're trying to, quote unquote, keep up with the Joneses and the perfect family and the perfect home, and they have this and they have that and they're going on this trip and everyone's smiling, no one's frowning in their pictures. Well, of course, that's what they do. They're not going to show you the interceptions of their life. They're just going to show off the touchdowns. And the reality is this, that if whenever we do, we give glory to God. Here's the deal. We live in a depraved life. We have depraved hearts. And so here's what happens. We go through valleys. God's not saying here through Paul, hey, when you're just on the mountaintop, when you can just show everyone your Facebook pictures of your latest trip and your latest toy that you just purchased, he's not saying, oh, in what you do in those things, yeah, go ahead and give praise. He's saying literally through Paul, who suffered greatly for the cause of the gospel, that in whatever you do, yes, even in the valleys, even though you may be walking today through the valley of the shadow of death, you can confidently, you can triumphantly say, I will fear no evil, for my God is with me wherever I go. You talk about and in whatever you do. That's in whatever you do. That if you're down today, stay there. Stay humbled. I know it doesn't make sense because we all want to get up and we want the pain to be released and we don't have to deal with whatever we're dealing with. But let me tell you this, and from personal experience, some of the greatest victories in my life have been when I've been down. Because I know this, the greatest victories in life are won when we're on our face and on our knees before the great God of the Bible, crying out to Him, saying, God, I can't do this. I need You to do the work. I can't do this another day. Oh, You speak, You work, You carry me. Oh, God, and in whatever I do today, I want to be Your vessel for Your praise and Your glory. Oh, God, in whatever I do tomorrow, I want to be used for You. I want to make my life count. Oh, God. And whatever I do, I am Yours. Because this leads so beautifully into the second part of what He said. And so the text today says this, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And all God's people shouted, Amen. The second part right here of this verse is so critical. Because we just established from what Paul said that in whatever we do, and whatever includes not just the good times but the difficult days. The whatever includes not just the holy moments on the mountain, but the sorrow in the valley. The whatever includes not just the days of light, so to speak, but those days of darkness where the dark night you think will never lift. And as Paul so systematically and beautifully lays this out, he said, and whatever you do, do it for the Lord Jesus Christ, for His praise, for His glory, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. You know what I've learned in my life? The times that I'm really giving back to God are the times that I really don't have much to give Him. I mean, just think through that for a moment. It's so easy to fall into the trap that we give out of the abundance, and that's a good thing. But what would happen in your life? And by the way, I'm not referring to just giving monetarily. I'm talking about first giving your life. I'm talking about giving your heart. I'm talking about selling out to Christ. So many times we just give God a portion of who we are. Hey, I don't want to go to this concept of hell, so I'm going to quote unquote accept this Jesus and therefore get the fire insurance that I'm needing and craving for because I don't want to endure that. Who in their right mind would want to endure that? I don't want that. But yet, you know what, God? Just stay out of my life. Oh, wait a minute. I want Jesus. I want to be saved from this condemnation. But God, I really don't want you running my deal. And yet God, through His glorious Word right here, says whatever you do, you're doing it for the glory of Christ. You're doing it for my glory. Therefore, if in everything that we are doing, it's all about God, the only way that we do everything that we do for God's glory is that God had to at some point transform our evil, depraved hearts into something that is from Him. The only way this occurs to actually go live for God in whatever we do for His praise and His glory is at some point along this journey, He came into our life through the blood of His Son, and it wasn't fake. It wasn't one of these things that, hey, this might be temporary. No, this was a wholesale surrendering. And when Christ truly comes in to a human heart, it's impossible for that heart to stay the same. Therefore, when we surrender to Christ, we will have a goal and we will have a desire that in whatever we do, both mountaintop and valley experiences and everything in between, we will give thanks to God through Christ Jesus our Lord.
You are listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of Pastor Couch's messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. In addition, you can share your prayer requests with us via email. Our email address for prayer requests is prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. And now, back to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch.
See, giving thanks to God out of a humble, contrite spirit, out of a heart that says that, man, it's really about God and His praise and His glory. That when we look away from self and we're no longer trying to stack the deck in our favor, so to speak, but we really come to God with open hands, palms up, and we say, God, in whatever I do, I'm going to give you the praise and glory. And by the way, I trust you so much with my life. I trust you so much with my circumstances. I trust you so much with whatever plan you have for me and my family. I rely and depend and trust in you so much that whatever you decide for my life is best in my life. And yet you talk about flying in the face of our culture today. Have you noticed, by the way, how ungrateful our culture is today? I believe this ungratefulness is rooted and it's anchored and tethered to an unbridled discontentment, so to speak. There's this unbridled discontentment for the things of God that is a direct result of not having our life's mission being one of craving to give glory to God in all things, in whatever we do, in word, deed, or action, regardless of the result of our obedience and faithfulness to Him. But we want something in the deal, don't we? Okay, God, I'll sell out. I'll go to Africa. I'll go live in a hut. I'll do whatever you want me to do. But in the back of our minds, so many times we're really saying, God, I'll go do this, but what's in this for me? And you talk about an ungrateful heart, because a grateful heart is not focused on self. A grateful heart that's consumed and filled with gratitude is always a heart that's externally focused, not internally focused. And it really is a result of just simply savoring, treasuring, having just a indescribable gratitude for God over self. But yet I believe one of the greatest things that has taken the legs out of us as a culture, being grateful and being God-centered and being Christ-exalting and being Bible-driven and being prayer-saturated. I believe what's taken the legs out of that in many regards is the simple fact that we've moved from being truth-centered to being how I feel-centered. You talk about something that has just invaded and taken over our culture today. It's the simple fact that we're not anchored to God and His Word. And when you untether yourself, when you reach over to the side of the dock and you take the rope of your heart off that dock and you remove it, here's what happens. The heart begins to drift. The heart is easily now swayed. It's no longer fastened to. It's no longer banded to the truth of God. We in this culture today unwittingly just remove whatever is fastening us to the dock of God, so to speak, the truth of God. And now what are we doing? We are just now drifting to and fro in the harbors of life, and we're looking for something to dull the pain and fill the void. And the reality is that God through His Word, God through His truth, God through His Son is the only thing that will keep you anchored. It's through Him and by Him for His praise and His glory. See, this giving to God is just simply to be grateful. It's being grateful to Theos, grateful to God. And the people that I've encountered who are the most grateful are also the people that I've encountered that are the most humble. See, humility and gratitude goes hand in hand. You get a prideful person who thinks they're the deal, that thinks they're the bomb, that they're the show, and I can promise us all this, there's not going to be a genuine heart of gratitude there. There's going to be a heart of, hey, what's in this for me? Why am I not getting what I want? This is what I crave. Hey, I'm smart. I should be doing this. I'm not going to be doing menial tasks. This is all about me. This is about me moving up the chain. This is about my praise and my glory. And yet God's Word screams so differently. God's Word says, look, the way up is actually down. God's Word says, John 13, it's all about servant leadership. It's about pushing other people to the front. And if we got to do the menial task, oh, we willingly do it. Why? Because in whatever we do it for the glory of God, giving Him thanks, giving Him praise, giving Him glory. And I believe intently, I believe fervently, that a thankful heart is a non-negotiable for a true believer in Christ. You say, wait a minute, if I have a day where I'm not thankful, am I now unconverted? Well, no. Of course we know that's not true. We know from God's Word that for those who are truly under the blood of Jesus Christ, we are sealed. We are sealed for the day of redemption. And yes, there's going to be some days and there where we struggle. And maybe this is an area that you struggle in or I struggle in greatly today, is one of gratitude. That we've been so desensitized by this culture that, I mean, you think through it. I mean, we got 168 hours in the week. That's for all of us, by the way. All of us have 168. And if we were to leave the radio and the TV and the internet on for 168 hours, we would learn very quickly that for 168 hours of hearing from the culture, that is, we would hear that it's all about us. We would hear that it's all about making us more comfortable. We would hear that it's all about us acquiring whatever it may be that we might now be more, quote unquote, happy. And yet for the true believer in Jesus, our lives are not our own. For the true believer in Jesus, we're in this world, but we're not of it. For the true believer in Christ, it's all about His praise. It's not unto us, not unto us. But it's to Your name we give glory. Why? The verse tells us right there in Psalm 115:1. It's because of God's mercy. It's because of His truth. 1 Timothy 6:6. Great verse. 1 Timothy 6:6 simply says this as Paul speaking to Timothy. He says, Timothy, don't forget this. Godliness, pursuing holiness, righteousness, godliness with contentment is great gain. See, a grateful heart is a contented heart. And vice versa, a contented heart is a grateful heart. Now, do not get confused with contentment and happiness being the same thing, because they're not the same thing. Happiness is an emotion. Contentment is the state of my heart. Happiness is based on my circumstances many times. Things are going well. My emotions are up. I feel good. Praise God. We love Jesus. Things aren't going well. Family's doing poorly. Finances are bad. Cars aren't starting. Whatever we're dealing with, our emotions many times are then low. Therefore, our happy meter is low. That our happy meter gets rocked. That our happy meter no longer shows where we want to be on the happy meter. And when we're content, we're based on the immutability of God. Therefore, He never changes. Therefore, He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. What does this do for you, the true believer? If you're really anchored to Him, if you have not untethered that rope from God, but you're hanging on to Him, you're pressing into Him. Yes, you may be in the valley, but you want to know Him to make Him known. You want Him to use your pain for His praise, His glory. You want Him to use your trials so that a lost world might see Him on display, that He is great, that He's mighty to save, that you do not want to waste what you're going through in the valley, but you wanted to do something to draw men unto Himself through the blood of the Savior. Oh, a contented heart is a graceful heart. A grateful heart in Christ is a contented heart in the person and the work of what Christ did for us who believe in Him.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.